from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Work sucks. They don't. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
As Vladdy sends one on a ride to right field, jumping up against the wall and missing it is Ryan O'Hearn. Vladdy's going to turn the corner and get to third. Man, he had the jets on. It's a stand-up triple for Vladdy.
Well, I think it was a combination of a lot of things. One, you know, we walked Varsho twice in front of him. That's not a recipe for success. And then missing fastballs in the middle part of the plate to a guy that's red hot. Well, I think he had five walks. And then the walks before Varsho, too. So, you know, I thought it was okay besides that, you know, those two guys. Tough to win when you're walking guys in front of Guerrero.
Yeah, I mean, walks are always disappointing unless they're intentional. But, yeah, again, I threw too many non-competitive pitches and in deep counts and got myself in trouble.
Vinny and Haney here on this rainy Friday in Charm City. Cordell Woodland filling in for Bob Haney here with Vinny Serrato, Nolan Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass on this featured artist Friday. We'll be playing ELO all the way up until 2 o'clock. Right here on the Fan.
You'll have to let us know if you recognize the song.
Yeah, I will. I will. I don't recognize the name, but I'm confident I'll be able to pick out a couple of songs here in the next 4 hours. The audio you heard coming in, courtesy of Blue Jays Radio Network. Blue Jays win 7-6 last night in Game 3 of this 3-game set against the Orioles, taking 2 of 3 in the series, and that's disappointing in itself. Losing to a team that were sellers at the deadline, a team that, you know, really is all but mailed it in at this point. Everybody outside of Vladimir Guerrero Jr., it looks like, on that team has pretty much mailed it in. But Dean Kramer gets the loss last night. He's now 4-9 on the season. He goes 4 1/3, 4 hits, 5 earned runs, 6 strikeouts to 5 walks. And you heard Dean and Brandon Hyde talking about the walk issue in his performance last night. And everybody is upset that, and we talked a little bit about this yesterday, about them not avoiding Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And Right. The problem at least last night is they walked Dalton Varsho twice. I mean, are you back-to-back walks will definitely kill you. And I get it. You want to avoid Vladimir Guerrero as much as you can. And he went 3-for-4 last night. Had the home run as well, picked up 4 RBIs on the night. He has just been a thorn in their side for the past 3 games.
Well, don't you think like a decent right fielder makes with the one catch?
Yes, but I mean, I don't like O'Hearn in outfield in general.
Right.
So I've been on record for that. If at any cost, if you can avoid putting O'Hearn in the field,
because he kind of looked lost out, you know, chasing that fly ball. Norm, you agree with that? I mean, I thought he kind of looked a little lost.
Well, not the easiest catch, but I mean, just the night prior, Santander makes the great grab against the wall. It shows you again the value of a good defender out there. It was a tough play, though. He gave it a full effort and bounced hard off the wall.
He just doesn't have the range to be able to get to that type of ball. There's no knock on him. It's just what it is.
Well, he's not the athlete.
Yeah, it's just what he's great at the plate. He's just not great in the field. You can't be great at everything. But I think that kind of took some of the decisions out of their hands when it came to Vlad when he's up at the plate. Now, sure, you could still walk him because first base is open and, you know, or a base is open and you can still put him on there and kind of take your chances with Horwitz. Or, I mean, Kirk did him dirty as well in this series. It was just a bad pitching performance to begin with. It started off bad for Dean in the first inning, giving up three, and then it looked like he was going to bounce back. But you get to that fifth inning, and he's just not able to make it out of there. I just don't think Dean has much left.
Well, he had a couple good outings prior to that and had a bad outing last night. The biggest thing I see is, I mean, you're playing a Toronto team, like you said, that's basically playing, you know, ready to play golf, vacation, and you let them, you know, three games before, the Yankees beat them 2 out of 3. And then you go and you lose 2 out of 3 to them, and you make their pitchers look out you like all-stars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, Gausman looked, he was awesome.
He was.
Last night. And then, like, in the opener, the pitcher of that game was awesome in that game. I mean, you made their pitching look great in that series.
And to Toronto's credit, they've been really good at home as of late. They're almost to the point now to where they're almost back at 500 at home. That's still no excuse. The Orioles are the better team. The Orioles are the ones that are in a pennant race, and they're the ones trying to win this division right now. Thankfully, the Yankees lost again last night. And I mean, they're losing to a team they have no business losing to as well with the Angels. So it's like these two teams are in lockstep right now, which could be a benefit for the Orioles the way that they're playing. The fact that the Yankees just also can't seem to pull themselves out of the mud. But
well,
it's got to turn around.
Both teams have been flawed, Cordell, since he before the All-Star break. Neither team has really been good. I mean, I would bet that they don't even have a winning record over, the last probably 35 games, do they? I would think. Norm, do they have a winning record?
Who are you talking about?
Either team.
Well, I saw
Yankees
a stat. I'm trying to look for the tweet, but I saw a tweet last night. This is from Matt Wyrich, who covers the Orioles for the Baltimore Sun. He had tweeted it out last night. The Orioles moved to 20 games over 500 on June 9th. They're 26-26 since then, playing 500 ball since June 9th. And there's, you look at it right now, they're still only 20 games over 500 a month later, August 9th. That's just not good baseball.
No, and that never, and the thing about it was, never happened last year.
No, and I said this the other day. It's this team feels different this year compared to last year, and maybe
there's
the expectations.
Flaws. There's more flaws, I think.
No doubt. I mean, they're not as healthy this year as they were last year. That I think that's a big part of it. But they're just not even the same. You look at the lineup; it doesn't feel the same. The at bats don't feel as good. The total team effort, the wins, the way that they're winning games. Last year, they won games in a multitude of different ways. This year, it just seems like they're a one-trick pony. If they can blow you out and beat up on you with the long ball, then they're fantastic. If not, then you kind of have to sweat it out. And look, they had a valiant effort last night, scoring 4 runs in the 9th. It was great. Looked like they had a chance to really bring it back home, especially when you see Santander coming up to the plate with the game on the line. It's like, all right, I can start to believe in this a little bit right now, but you run out of gas after a while, and that's what they did late in that game.
Well, plus, last year they were so good defensively.
Mm-hmm.
This year, it's very shaky
defensively,
and that's Hyder's big thing is he wants to be great on defense, and they're not. And they give up a lot of runs because of their shaky defensive performances.
Yeah, and I think that also is a thing that probably goes into, you know, the health status. Mateo's not there right now. Granted, Mateo hasn't been playing great defense a lot. Not the defense that we're used to seeing from him in the past.
Urias,
same thing. I would even say before Austin Hayes got traded away, his defense wasn't what it's been over the last few years. So guys have definitely taken some steps back, it feels like, this year. And I think the injuries are a big part of it. I mean, they used to be so great in one-run games, and that's because you had the big fella coming out of the bullpen late in the games to close it out. Now, you have questioned. We don't even know who the closer is right now. I mean, we're in August. It's August 9th. We can't sit here and say who the definitive closer is for this team. They're dealing with issues that last year they just simply didn't have to deal with.
I think, Cordell, fundamentally, they're not as good. I mean, how many times have you seen the outfielder miss the cutoff man and stuff, too? Mm-hmm. You know, I just think fundamentally they're flawed fundamentally, and maybe because they have so many young guys playing, I don't know, but yeah,
and that's a part of it. They've been a part of some of these young guys have been a part of some of these defensive. But I just named a couple of the veterans. It's a total team mix, no doubt about it. And I tweeted it last night. You can't trust the Orioles right now. You can't trust them. I mean, 2 months ago, I forget what series it was. But I remember leaving it was a home game, and I remember leaving the press box saying, this is the best team in baseball. I will take my chances with this team against any team in the league, no matter how long the series right now with the way that they look. And right now, I'm scared of multiple teams in the American League.
Well, you don't know what you're going to, know who's showing up.
Exactly.
That's the problem. We don't know what team is showing up. Is it a team that, you know, they're going to come out and they're going to only have 3 hits? Mm-hmm. I mean, Gausman shut him down. What did he have? He shut down, what, 12 of the last 13 or something like that?
Yeah, he went 8 innings. I mean, pretty deep in the game. Only 3 hits given up, the 2 earned runs, 2 strikeouts, 3 walks. And usually they get to Gausman. Usually they don't have much of an issue with him. But that wasn't the case last night. Gunner struggled 0-for-3. Did have the wall. Colton Kowser bounced back in a big way. I mean, he was a huge part of their offense last night. But it's just when you look at the star guys, like I mentioned, Gunner just has been iffy a lot. Adley, it's like when you think that he's about to break out of the slump, it's like, is he really? I just find it hard to trust these guys these days. 410-583-1057 is the number if you want to jump in on this Featured Artist Friday. Want to talk some Orioles, we can definitely do that. Ravens, of course, getting on the field for the first time this year tonight against the Philadelphia Eagles for their first preseason game. So we'll, of course, talk plenty of Ravens throughout today's show. If you want to get on, we'll start taking your calls next here.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
On the Fan. 410-583-1057 is the number. If you want to jump on the line, the lines are buzzing right now. Let's go to Ed in Towson. Ed, you're on the Fan.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
What's going on?
I'm good. Look, and Vinny, you can relate. Well, look, Vinny and Cordell, you can definitely relate to what I'm going through right now. I'm in Northern Virginia traffic. It sucks. Vinny.
It sucked for you. My wife had to drive from Northern Virginia to Baltimore every day when I was down there.
Oh my God, this is horrible. I've been able to talk to Rob and everybody else just sitting in this traffic. But look, Vinny, Morgan Wooten told me one time, and I've said this a million times on the line, he used to tell me we were playing good teams and things like that. Prior success is the greatest enemy of change. And what that means is, and I've said this, these guys, I think it's all above the neck, Vinny. I think they're not bringing the same energy and focus with the defensive part that they did before the break. And yeah. Sometimes you can subconsciously say, well, you know, what worked back in April and May against the Blue Jays, it should work today. And these are kids. They're 20, 21-year-old kids. We must understand that. And they're still learning. I know that doesn't mean anything because they're getting paid. But, Vinny, you've seen situations where, you know, you got to bring a different energy this week against Michigan than you brought last week against Ohio. Even though we won, it's got to be a different kind of energy. And I think that's something that it's nothing that Hyder can coach them up with, too, Vinny. You know that. They got to just bring it. And I think when they understand that, they'll be okay. But it's a rough patch. It's like a sophomore year after being very good the year before. So we'll see what happens. Take care, guys.
Yeah,
appreciate the call.
Let me ask you this, Cordell, because I was just thinking about, you know, like while he was talking, you know, Gunner, like early in the year, like the energy that he was playing with, you know, like when he was running all over the place and had a ton of, are they a little tired mentally?
Could be, honestly.
Because it doesn't look, you know, like Norm, you get it, like, because remember, like, at the beginning of the year, Gunner, you know, he's jumping all over the place. He's excited. I don't know. Maybe mentally he's a little drained.
I just, when they were going through their struggles last month, and I remember saying to Bob, I mean, I think it's just simply a winning and losing thing. You know, the first time in their careers that losses have mounted for more than 2 days in a row. You know, last year, the whole sweepless streak, I mean, we talked about it a lot, but I feel like at a certain point, we almost didn't appreciate it for what it was. Mm-hmm. This year kind of puts last year in greater context of how good they were and what they were doing, how that just flat out isn't normal, even for a good team. So these, to Ed's point about these guys being young, you know, you start having, you know, 3, 4, 5 losses in a row, they don't know what that feels like. They haven't felt that in forever, maybe since high school.
Yeah, I could see that being a part of it. And also, these guys offensively, you mentioned Gunner. I mean, his offense isn't what it was at the first half of the season. So maybe some of the offensive lapses are kind of, you know, mentally getting to them to where it's impacting their defense subconsciously right now. But it does. They're not sharp on either side right now the way that they have been in the past. Let's go to Matt in Maine. Matt, you're on the Fan.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
What's going on?
Not too much, man. Not too much. Good to hear you back on the waves, Cordell.
Appreciate it.
Vinny, I hope you're still doing good, buddy. I know you're bouncing back stronger than ever.
Yeah, I'm doing good. I've been lifting good lately.
Awesome, man. That's awesome. Guys, I'm listening to you guys from up here in New England. And my thoughts on it, we know that these guys are, like, analytically driven. So I'm just curious, they have to be able to look at, even if they just take like the last 20 World Series winners and look at any team that went through a rebuild that required multiple 100 loss seasons, the reality is I did my best to research this, but none of those World Series winners stayed with the same manager going through the rebuild and ultimately getting a title. And that's got to stand out to Elias and those guys. I feel like for me personally, I use kind of like the Lamar and John Harbaugh analogy. When John was on his way out of Baltimore and Lamar came along, suddenly John looked like a way better coach and he's signing an extension. Was that because he's a better coach or was it because he got like a premier player? Adley came along. The Orioles were still really well under 500. Hyde inherits Adley and the entire culture changes. And I just personally feel like they've been riding the coattails of Adley and Gunnar now just so heavily. And the youth that these two guys have, it's a tremendous amount of weight to think that as they go, the Orioles are going to go. I ultimately feel like the only way this thing gets over the hump, and I think this June 1st and until now 26-26 record is a great point in this, that I just feel like it may not be this year, but they need a guy that's going to get them ultimately over the hump to kind of give a new message and just kind of infuse something new. Because, you know, they go as Adley goes, but I see Hyde make mistakes, but I don't really ever feel like I see Hyde win ball games. And I'll hang up and listen to hear what you guys got to say.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Matt. I mean, that's a pretty I mean, I can't really name the last time I'm like, yeah, the Orioles won it because, you know, that was a great decision by Brandon Hyde. I'm not saying that it doesn't exist. I'm just saying that moment doesn't pop out in my mind.
Is Hyder kind of like Mike McCarthy, Dallas Cowboys coach?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, 12-4, what, 2 years in a row and everything, and then get blown out in the playoffs?
It's not ideal. It's not. No. And after a while, when you have as much talent as the Orioles currently have, or in your point of Mike McCarthy, and you don't get the ultimate success, eventually the spotlight is going to shine on you, the coach, or in this case, the manager. They are still a young team. And this is, the Orioles are still just now to the point now, I would say, with Jackson coming back up and with Mayo coming up now and a couple of these guys like Norby and Stowers being traded away, we're now starting to empty the tank of some of that great young talent that they've had in the farm system. We're just now getting to that point. So they're still a very young team. They've just been one of, you know, at the same time, one of the best teams in baseball.
Norm, you think, you know, like last year, Hyder had no pressure on him. I mean, he's got all young guys and they're doing well and he gets to be manager of the year. Now, because there was no expectations at the beginning of the year. Now the expectations are World Series or bust and there's less room for error. Then you get some injuries, you know, and you're pitching, and then your butthole gets a little puckered, you know, because you can't make, you don't have the room for error. And any little error jumps out at you, and, you know, and they make one error that kills them, you know, so maybe the pressure is, you know, starting to get to them a little bit.
Yeah, I think, you know, there were good stretches last year, and you know you're battling the Rays for the division title all year, trying to make up for that early season deficit. So, I mean, they played a lot of tight games last year. I think it's the injuries, you know, and he's having to face this as a manager now for the first time with a good team, but a good team that's really banged up. Because last year they're pretty fortunate health wise, and once Felix went down, then I think that was the first time that Hyde's actually had to scramble in his career because he didn't have his safety blanket anymore. And that was always Bautista. And he would even, in a pinch, be able to throw Bautista out there to finish off the eighth and then close out the ninth. So there's just, you don't find guys built like that. And, you know, as good and accomplished as Craig Kimbrell is in his career, you're just seeing how big of a gap there is between an okay or good closer and an elite closer. And that's makes a world of difference in these close games.
It's like,
I mean, it's everything.
Tyrod playing instead of Lamar playing, you know, in the playoff games and stuff. You know, so.
And I said, that's what I've been saying. I think the loss of Bautista has greatly impacted this team. And even if we want to use that to one of the caller's points, I mean, is that a great decision by most managers? It's not usually a great decision to have your closer go out there to get a six out save, but Batista was called to do that multiple times. Is that just great decision making, or is that just a great player being a great player? So that can kind of fall into that. And I do think that's a fair question to ask at this point. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll get to you after the break. 410-583-1057 is the number if you want to jump in line. We'll continue to take your calls next here on The Fan of Today. 410-583-1057 is the number if you want to get on the line. Let's go to Andre and Owens Mills. Andre, you're on The Fan.
All right. How y'all doing today?
What's going on?
Wonderful. Except that tree was down driving in today.
Yes, sir. Look. I want to talk about, let me first say, just give me a couple minutes, and I want to give you some things to let you know that Hahn is the reason why the Orioles is losing, and I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to give you some facts on where his management moves, that they keep trying to bail this man out and say that analytics, if you're going by analytically, the stuff he's doing, he needs to be kicked off the team right now. If he don't even go by analytics. All right, so let me first start with Mullins. Mullins was a 30-30 guy a couple years ago and from the leadoff position. So, and what Mullins did when he got on base, he caused a lot of havoc. He made teams play defense, him and Mateo. So, and we was able to score a lot of different ways when Mullins or Mateo got on. And the way he did Mullins, he needed to be kicked off the team from the way he treated Mullins. He insulted Mullins by putting him eighth, ninth. Now he's being benched. When Mullins get in the game, Mullins look like he don't even want to play. But let me get you some of his moves right now. The Suarez or whatever his name started the other night, right? So Suarez pitched five innings or whatever, but he didn't give up any runs. So he takes Suarez out. Too many Suarez could have went one or two more innings, but he didn't give up any runs. So he brings in Smith. So what Smith does was Smith retired five hitters in a row.
Yeah.
And I think he had a couple strikeouts. But he was pitching great. He had momentum pitching great. So the guy gets one hit off of Smith. One hit. Hyde runs out the dugout. Like he was hurt because the guy gave up one hit, but he retired five batters. So he gives up one hit, runs out to the dugout, like I got to get him out of the game. But he brings in this new guy. So the new guy comes in, and he pitches – however many pitches, but he let him stay in and give up five runs.
Soto.
But let me finish. So he leaves Soto in, give up five runs, but he let him stay in the game. But he runs out and takes Smith out. That's retired five guys. The guy got one hit, so he runs to take him out. So to me, that was he lost the game right there. But let's get to the pitch hitting situation. Now, Kowser had a 17-game hitting streak. If you remind me when he took my man out there was pitching a no-hitter for us. So, Kowser had a 17-game hitting streak. Bases loaded. 17-game hitting streak. I don't care. I ain't worried about his hitting streak. You know, I'm going to do it the way I do it. I'm the manager of the year. So
I got you, Andre. We appreciate the call. I mean, I get it. There's a lot of examples of Hyde kind of making bad decisions. And a lot of those that you named.
One game.
Those were all in the same game.
No doubt.
And we talked about that ad nauseum right after that. I mean, I feel your frustration. Just got to try to get as many callers as we can in here. But yeah, I mean, it's times. I mean, I do wonder, to his point, when you talk about them being analytically driven, are the analytics not telling them at this point to avoid Vladimir Guerrero Jr.? I would imagine so, but they're not. And granted, I acknowledge them walking Dalton Varsho twice.
Yeah,
kind of probably impacts that decision to go around Guerrero. But the question is still fair. Like, is that not an analytical move itself to go away from him, well, as hot as he is?
Right. And what are people doing to judge?
Yeah.
I mean, he's got more walks than Carter's got pills, you know? So I, if one guy is beating you, you know, it's kind of obvious then, because the guy behind Guerrero struck out three times,
right.
Cordell.
Right.
You own him.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Hyde had, you know, bad Toronto. He had a bad three-game Toronto.
And depending on who you ask, it's been bad for a while.
Ray. Isn't it Ray?
Ray and among others. Yeah. Among others, honestly. Let's go to Rashawn in Baltimore. Rashawn, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, fellas.
What's up, man?
Ain't not much, man.
Hey, you gotta tell Jerry. You gotta tell Jerry to chill out.
What did Jerry do, man? You know,
Cordell, tell him what Jerry did with CD.
Jerry's over there making CD feel unwanted, man. Talking about he's not in a rush and there's no sense of urgency right. And stuff. That's cool.
He playing with y'all, man. Jerry hey, playing with himself, checkers, man.
Yeah. He might be too old to do that.
But no, listen, man. He can't pay everybody. Listen, you can't pay CD, Dak, and Michael Parsons, and then expect to have money left over for other players. You know, to win a championship.
Who are the other players? Is what I'm trying to figure out. Because
you need them role players on the team. You know, right. It's just like Zeke. The 2000s. Yeah, they got Zeke back for a cheap deal, man. But no, Zeke, like, I think it's gonna be special this year. He's like on his last tour. It's gonna remind me like Ray Lewis last year with the Ravens, man. You know, might be something special, man. With Zeke, okay. Man. You know, the team's gonna rally around him, man.
Yeah.
And they might win that 6th Super Bowl ring. You know,
right.
So I'm already looking for flights and hotels for New Orleans.
There
down
it is.
In, you know, for February. So
For the Ravens.
Ravens versus Cowboys, man. Oh, you know, if Harbaugh can get his mind right, you know, and run the ball, and when you need to run the ball.
I heard that he was going to hire Hyder to put up in the box to handle his fourth down situation, you know, his end of game stuff, all that stuff.
Man, you made that analogy earlier. I heard you say Hyde is just like Mike McCarthy, man.
Yeah.
But difference is Mike McCarthy got a Super Bowl ring, though, so hey. You know, he got a championship.
So does Hyder.
He does?
Ooh, with the Cubs.
With the Cubs.
Well, he was a water boy back then? Well,
he was assistant coach, whatever it was.
Assistant coach. Okay, all right, yeah, all right, okay. Big up to him, man. But like yesterday, Mom, when I texted him on the hotline, when y'all do the end of the show, right? And
yeah.
And the question was, in the playoffs, who will we trust as that third starter? You know, if Grayson can't be back, you know, and it was between, I say, Rodgers or Kramer, right?
And I was begging for Rodgers to be the guy because we know what Kramer's giving.
Yeah, and then you see Kramer, man. Like, I don't know. He just regressed, man. Like, he hasn't been right since, like, that playoff game he got knocked around in. I know he had the injury and everything, man, but he's just looking terrible, man. Like, he, you know, Rob Long said he's a solid number three, and I disagree, man. This guy, you know, ain't no number three in him.
He's an like inconsistent number three. He's good every now and then.
Yes, every number. When was the last time he had a good start?
A couple games ago, when they lost, he pitched well. Remember they had all the errors? Gunner had a couple. And
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That was that game.
Well,
yeah, he did pitch good. And he pitched good that first game back. Remember, I think it was in Seattle. He had like eight strikeouts and we won, you know. But other than that, man, I don't know what to deal with this guy. And this team is like, at the end of the day, we need to calm down and stop panicking because – we're still ahead of the rebuild. You know, we're not supposed to be this year competing for a World Series at this time, man. You know, like, we're still ahead of the curve.
No.
Like, I don't, like, remember a couple years ago, it was like going to take a couple years, like, just to be competitive. We're ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
Was we supposed to win 100 games
World Series or bust. Norm, you're a huge Oreo dude. What do you say?
After winning 101 games last year, yeah, we're all in.
Yeah.
That was an anomaly, man. Everybody know that was just that wasn't really supposed to happen, man. You know, like
they might do it again.
I mean, they could, man. But everybody keeps getting injured. Like, look, think about it. We got our second best pitcher, which is Bradish, hurt out for the year. Our third best pitcher, Means, out for the year. Our best closer, out for the year. What other teams in baseball right now is dealing with these type of injuries?
I mean,
you know, like, I know the Braves.
These other teams, they're not as good as the Orioles. And I mean, I know we got to hit a break, so appreciate the call, Rashawn. But yeah, I mean, I don't think that we can no longer use that the Orioles are ahead of schedule stuff anymore. That's kind of done. There is no formula for that. And this game, especially baseball, shows you when you have your window and the Orioles are in that window right now, you got to maximize it because you don't know when that window is going to close. So whatever schedule they had, that schedule's gone now. They are in the winning portion of that schedule. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we've got a couple callers on the line. We'll try to get to you. We'll also start talking some Ravens. Who are we expecting to pop out to us in tonight's preseason game? We'll talk about that and take some of your calls next here on The Fan. Who could you see having us talk about them on Monday in a positive way? Give me three.
Woo! Three that we're talking about. So basically, they got to be like skill type guy or pass rush, you know, that type.
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking offensive line, it's probably not good.
No. I'm going to say Ali.
Okay.
I think running back, make some plays, give it a shot there. I'll say, how about Devontae Walker getting deep, too?
Okay.
I'll say that one. And then Wiggins.
Wiggins, yeah.
And Cordell, it may be that he had two flags,
mm-hmm.
but we'll be talking about him.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see a lot of them, sure.
Yeah.
So it'll be plenty to talk about him.
Well, you know who another one could be? If he play, I don't know how much he'd play, Simpson.
Mm-hmm.
You know he's going to play, yeah, but I don't know how much he'll play.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I look at a couple of guys. I think Sean Ryan could be one that we're talking about. He seems to be a guy that they like, and he's been around a little bit. So I think this is the type of game where him being kind of the veteran of these guys that are going to play most of these preseason games could help him. I wouldn't be surprised if Kadir ends up making a couple of plays. He seems to be involved.
Yeah, he
could catch. He has some hands. And
he's tall.
He's a big guy. He's a big guy. So I'm curious to see the physical side of him, you know, after the catch, if that size translates to him playing a little strong.
Let me just say, when you're a former quarterback, Cordell, that's not, you know, usually in your MO.
Mm-hmm. Well, what was it, the tight end for the Commanders that used to play Virginia, quarterback of Virginia Tech recently? Logan
Paulson?
Logan Thomas.
Thomas.
Logan Thomas, yeah. He had a physical style of play when he played quarterback. I don't know what Kadir looked like as a quarterback, but he's a big dude.
I bet John Carroll.
Yeah, he's a big dude. So I want to see what he looks like after the catch. One more, I would say maybe like a Source and I may be saying his name wrong, but Kane, the safety. Later on, I like that play that he made when they went live the other day in the red zone, and he came and he put a hit on Kadir, who made a nice catch on the 1 yard. I think they were doing like the 2 minute, I mean not 2 minute, a two point plays, but they went live for like the third.
Sansui Kane,
yeah,
Sanusi,
Sanusi King, Sanusi King, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe he makes an impact play tonight.
Yeah, how about Travis Jones?
That'd be nice.
I mean, everybody's been pumping him up.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Go make a sack. You know, and here's the thing that you got to kind of remember, too, is that the guys that they're playing against, not the great, you know, it's not the guys that are going to be lined up when they're playing Kansas City.
Oh,
so,
for sure.
So, I mean, you like what they're doing, and we're going to be talking about it, hopefully. You know, like you said, these guys will be talking about on Monday. And the guys we're talking about on Monday, Cordell, guess what? Next Saturday, they're going to get more run.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to get more. Like, when I go out to practice on Sunday, or you go, if both of us go out to practice on Sunday, we're going to see them get more reps, whoever we're going to talk about.
Should we hit a break? Let's hit a break. We got Jonas Schaefer joining us at 11 o'clock to talk some Ravens. Jonas, of course, covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Banner. We'll get an idea of who Jonas thinks can make some plays for the Ravens tonight in their first preseason game. We'll ask him that and more next year on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.